Next is a live broadcast of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church Worship Service with Pastor Clint Poppy and Pastor Adam Moline.
The Lord be with you. Welcome, welcome once again to God's house. It is a strange and eerie feeling when we are in God's house and the pews are empty. We thank you for listening or tuning in to our Maundy Thursday worship. Maundy, New Command Thursday. We'll hear that in our gospel reading. A new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He loved us all the way to Calvary's cross. He continues to love us by the enduring gift of the Lord's Supper. And we pray that God would richly bless us as we recount the events of that first Maundy Thursday so many years ago, and also give thanks to God for his blessings, his forgiveness, life, and salvation. The end of the service on Maundy Thursday will end with the stripping of the altar. The pastors will leave in silence, and so we pray that God would bless us. I'm going to make all the announcements for the day here at the beginning of our worship service. First of all, be reminded, members of Good Shepherd, we will be since we are all, as a congregation, shut-in members, for the members of Good Shepherd, we will be offering a special shut-in-style communion service. You've received that information in the mail. Be patient with us, and that will take place from 2 until 6 p.m. this afternoon, from 2 until 6 p.m. this afternoon. We've made every attempt to be not only safe and sanitary, but also to follow the rule of 10 guidelines that the state of Nebraska has handed down to us at this point in time. Also be reminded that if you are listening on the radio or watching on TV, this service will again be aired at 6:30 this evening. You might be able to share that information with your family and friends as they are cooped up. Tomorrow, Good Friday, 12:15 Traore service, where we focus on the seven times Jesus spoke from the cross. Tomorrow, Good Friday, 7:30 p.m., the Tenebrae Service of Darkness. And then Saturday, we will celebrate the Easter Vigil at 6 p.m. And Sunday morning, the Joy of the Resurrection, 6 a.m., 8:30, and 10:30 a.m. May God bless us during Holy Week and Easter this year. Now, a few words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn, as you heard in the prelude, number 445, When You Woke That Thursday Morning. Following that hymn, we will follow the service of corporate confession and absolution, page 290 and 291. And then following that corporate confession and absolution, we will pick up divine service setting one with the salutation and collect on page 156. Salutation and collect on page 156, and then follow divine service setting one through the remainder of the service. Again, no closing hymn, no benediction, because our service continues Good Friday and Easter Saturday. Before we sing that opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, as we recount the events of that first Maundy Thursday, we see your great love, not only for your disciples, but for all people, for all time. A marvelous example of love and servanthood in washing the disciples' feet. The gift of the Lord's Supper, your very body and blood shed for us in and under bread and wine for Christians to eat and drink. The pain and agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, your prayers and your bloody sweat, the shameful arrest and mock trial. Heavenly Father, all these things you endured for us and for our salvation. Today, help us, as always, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's in His name that we worship and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 445. The Order of Corporate Confession and Absolution, page 290 in your hymnal, page 290. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this night when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins." And to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. As our Lord on this night exemplified this love by washing his disciples' feet, so we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with the wine of many grapes, and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy,
and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Amen. Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's? Yes. Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace. Amen. We continue now with the salutation and collect of the day, Divine Service, setting 1, page 156. Page 156.
The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the readings.
The Old Testament reading for Holy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read together the gradual printed on the bulletin insert.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, and we sing the Lenten verse on page 157. Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We are seated for the sermon hymn number 446, Jesus, Greatest at the Table, hymn number 446.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christian, do you understand what Christ has done for his disciples in our gospel lesson for today? Do you understand it? The all-powerful, almighty God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who brought forth all of the creation by the power of his holy word, who rules all the nations of the earth, that God kneels down before lowly fishermen, tax collectors, and sinners, and washes their feet. God, the Lord of all, washes feet. Feet that had trod down the same Roman roads that horses, donkeys, camels, and more had trod. God washes dirty, filthy, muddy feet with his own two hands. It's an act of compassion, of care, of mercy, and love. It's an act of great servitude, in fact, an act that begins his holy passion, which will continue tomorrow with his sacrificial death on a cross outside Jerusalem, where he's killed. Do you understand what Christ has done? God serves his creation. God serves those who should serve him. He's the greatest servant of all. Now, some people don't like that idea about a God who is a servant instead of one who is served. Some people don't like the picture of a God who makes himself the lowest of the low so that we might be cared for, pampered, loved, provided for. What an offensive idea! What kind of a God would do something like that? Shouldn't God get our service to him? Shouldn't we praise him? Shouldn't we offer before him our worship and our offerings? Shouldn't we merely be peons in comparison to God? We should serve him, not the other way around. That's what Peter thinks. Lord, you will never wash my feet, he says to Jesus. You won't serve me. But Jesus tells him the truth. You must be washed. Peter, you must be washed. For if I do not wash you, you have no share with me, Jesus says. I must serve you for your good. You must be cleansed by me for your salvation. For you are sinful, Jesus says. You are stained with original sin and its fruit. You despise God and his word. You fail to love your neighbor as yourself. You need to be cleaned because you are a sinner. So let me wash you, Peter. When Peter hears this truth, God's word works a change in his heart. Wash me, Jesus, not just my feet, but my hands and my head also. Peter is always eager to overdo things. If a little water's good, then lots of water should be extra good. Wash me everywhere, Jesus, so that I may be clean, whiter than snow. Peter thinks his hope is in the water. What he hasn't figured out yet, what he doesn't understand is it's not just plain water that must wash him. It's the water connected to God's word, combined with God's word. That's the water that must wash him. Then, when he is washed in baptismal waters, he will be cleansed in and out, not just with the removal of dirt from the body, but with a baptism as an appeal to God for a good, clean conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That washing is the washing that Peter needs. And Jesus gently teaches and leads him to look to baptismal waters. And afterwards, Jesus preaches a sermon to them. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" Jesus asks. "Do you get it?" "Yes, now we get it. God in Jesus is a servant to people, to sinners. He washes their feet. And afterwards, he feeds them with his own body and blood. And in the washing, and in the eating, and in the hearing of God's word, Jesus serves them. He grows faith within them. He teaches them who God is. Jesus' service for his disciples does not end after the meal on Maundy Thursday. His service continues as he goes to the garden and prays for them, as he's arrested and stands condemned in their place, as he goes to the cross and bleeds and hangs naked and dying for them, as he's laid dead in a tomb, suffering the punishment all sinners deserve, death. In all of these things, Jesus serves his disciples. God serves sinners. Jesus is the greatest servant that ever lives, even for sinful disciples. Do you understand? Jesus goes on with his sermon and sends out the disciples to live lives of service to God's people. He says this, "If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Serve one another as I have served you," Jesus says. But who will the disciples serve? Who will they wash? Who will they feed? Who will they sacrifice for? For the sinners who are in the church. For the sinners that make up the body of Christ. And so it is, dear Christian, you have been washed, baptized. And in your baptism, your sin was taken away from you as far as the east is from the west, not by the hands of a lowly pastor who baptized you, but by the Lord who sent that pastor so to do, to serve you as Christ serves the church. Your sin was forgiven in those baptismal waters by the Lord who sacrificed himself in the ultimate divine service, Good Friday, Golgotha, Easter. You needed that washing of water in the Word because your sin was just as great as Peter's, as the other 12's, as anyone else in the entire world, wasn't it? You, too, needed to be cleaned by Jesus. If you didn't realize your sin before, perhaps it's come out that much clearer in the last few weeks, as you've been stuck more at home than anywhere else. Your patience wears thin. Your anger's just below the surface. You boil up at the smallest little thing. Your free time leads you to make bad choices about what you'll do with that time. It allows temptation to rear its ugly head. Perhaps that's why in Lincoln I read in the newspaper car thefts have increased. Perhaps that's why across the nation people are starting to break into businesses that are closed because of quarantine. Porn sites are generating more traffic than ever before. And our family members are getting on our nerves. Sin. All these things reveal our sin. And Jesus washes it away. Jesus baptizes through the hands and words of poor pastors, disciples, and apostles. And not only that, but Jesus feeds us also. It's Maundy Thursday, the night our Lord was betrayed, when he took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." When he took the cup and lifted it up and said, "Take, drink, this is my blood for the forgiveness of sins." He feeds our cleansed from sin hearts, souls, and bodies with his own life-giving, resurrected body and blood. Take and eat, take and drink for forgiveness, life, and salvation. All of this Jesus does for you. He gives you his body and blood, his word, his washing for your peace, for your comfort, so that sin will not be your master. Christ sends disciples, apostles, pastors to bring this gift to you. Dear Christian, please take advantage of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim not the greatness of your pastors, not the wonderfulness of your church, not how good we are at streaming technology. You proclaim the Lord's death. And how often? Until he comes again. Paul says you should receive these gifts until Jesus comes again. You should eat until Jesus comes again. You should remember you're baptized until Christ the Lord returns. Dear Christian, use these gifts, for they cleanse you of all guilt, all sorrow, and all sin. Christ goes on, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." It means now you're free to serve your neighbor as well. Jesus has cleansed you. He's fed you. He serves you. He's given you his word and set you free to care for your neighbor, to love your family member you're quarantined with, to have extra patience with them, to make good choices with your free time, to study God's word, to go to the grocery store for the lady down the street, to call your pastors to bring you word and sacrament. All this Christ teaches. The last time before he goes to the cross. Do you, dear Christian, understand what your Lord Jesus Christ does for you? Do you understand the sacrifices he makes? Do you understand how he serves you, washes you, feeds you, and creates faith through his word? Do you understand how great God's love is for you? course you do. That's why you're watching today as the holy 3 days begin. That's why we are being served by our Lord through the hearing of word and reception of his sacraments. That's why our eyes are fixed to the cross of Jesus, to his death. And that's why we look forward to his resurrection. In these things, we understand God serves us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our service now continues as we stand and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. You can find it on page 158 of your hymnal. We confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end.
And I believe
even the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, on this holy night, we remember the Passover of your ancient people, fulfilled in your Son's gift of the New Testament in his blood.
Be gracious to us and bless us. Remember not our sins and transgressions, for they have all been blotted out by the blood of Christ Jesus, our Passover Lamb. Forgive us, and create in us new and contrite hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, give wisdom, understanding, and boldness to all preachers of the Word during these holy days and hard times, that their preaching and teaching would edify your children and move them to faithfully meditate upon the passion of your Son, through which they have eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, strengthen all of our sister churches throughout the world who celebrate the mystery of your Son's Passover and those Christians who are unable to gather together. Where there is distress, bring consolation. Where there is strife, bring forgiveness. Where there is suffering, bring help. Where there is persecution, bring freedom and joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty Father, guard and defend the President of the United States, along with all whom you have placed in authority over us. Give wisdom and charity to all who speak and act for the common good. Preserve our regard for human life, family, and livelihood. Do not let fear or the concerns of this body of life keep us from the bread that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man alone gives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Compassionate Father, remember all who suffer in body or soul. Most especially, we implore your mercy to stay your hand and drive away plague and pestilence. Spare us and those for whom we pray, especially Jan, Kay, Janet, Norma, David, Sheldon, Barb, Mike, Michael, David, the family of Laverne Meyer, mourning the loss of a brother, the family of Jerrica Perry, mourning the loss of her grandmother, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Comfort us in our trials and enliven our faith in Christ, our only hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, at your Son's invitation, we come to his table this night. Help us to discern in the bread his true body, and in the cup his true blood. Give us, by your holy law, a right judgment of ourselves, that lamenting our sins, we would receive pardon and absolution in this most holy sacrament. Protect and cleanse the lips of those who eat and drink, and remove their fears. For this testament is the promise to strengthen us in body and soul to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son has instituted this most blessed sacrament to eat and drink, that what is promised in his testament may be truly received by his friends and heirs. Have mercy on all those who are kept from your table in these extraordinary circumstances, either by force or by their own free will. Do not shut them out of your supper forever. Let the words of this testament echo in their ears and hearts, and in true faith, let them believe these words, trusting that they receive in faith exactly what your Son has won and declared, the forgiveness of sins. Stir up in us a desire to commune with our fellow Christians on your true body and blood, and bring them soon to your table. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Heavenly Father, as your Son took on the form of a slave and washed the feet of his disciples, so make us ready to serve our neighbors ahead of ourselves. Teach us to love each other and bear one another's burdens, and confirm in us the image of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Again, we welcome you to the services of God's house. And we pray that God's word would be a blessing for you. We lament the fact that we are in a suspended state with our corporate worship services at this point in time. We pray that God would remove this pestilence from us and also remove our restrictions for corporate worship. For all of you who are worshiping this day, in the past and in the present or in the future, with our technological services, radio, internet, YouTube, podcasts, however, we pray that the Word of God would move forward boldly and would have its way with you. We thank the many members of Good Shepherd who have continued to support the ministry of the church, to support God's Word and the delivery of the sacraments. If you would like to continue that, simply drop off your offering envelope at the church or drop it in the mail.
For those outside of our fellowship, we thank you for your encouragement and support as well, and remind you to encourage, support, and financially support your home congregation. Our service continues with the celebration of the sacrament. We sing the offertory now. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, there life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?